You've heard a lot already, so I'm going to try to be brief this morning as I draw out a few key points on how this passage relates to us all as disciples of Jesus. We must remember that a disciple is an apprentice. They're someone who wants to become like someone else and to learn how to do what they do. If I was a disciple of Josh, I would hang out with him and begin to copy him. I'd wear more black, I'd speak less and listen more. I'd kick a football around. I'd buy a computer game console. I'd make sure also that I had a Sabbath each week and protected my time with my family and children. Being a disciple of Jesus is the same. It's about being with him, becoming like him, and doing the things that he did. So we pick up the story in Acts today at chapter 2, and we see that Jesus has just left. He's been raised from the dead and he's been anointed as the world's true king by his ascension into heaven. But he has left his disciples alone. He's no longer with them. And his disciples, well, he's directly told them to wait in Jerusalem for the gift of the Spirit that he will send them, his breath to be inside them, who will enable and equip them to be his witnesses. This is the key point of the story. This is the story of how the apprentices were empowered to be Jesus's representatives without him being around, witnessing to the reality of the kingdom of God, just like Jesus did, the kingdom of God that is at hand and available for everyone who believes. And so the Spirit blows into the room like a rushing wind and blows into every disciple in the room and blows out of every disciple, men and women, a different language. And the sound was crazy. Different languages all being spoken at once out loud. It was like a forest fire that kind of spread through the trees, lighting them each up one at a time. And so the Spirit blows them out of the room into the streets where they continue to speak about the goodness of God. And the key thing is that everyone can hear the invitation to the kingdom in their own language. But it all sounds so weird and strange, and some people think that these guys must be drunk. So Peter stands up. I love it that he stands up. Standing up is not easy. It would have been easier for him to remain sitting down or hidden, but he chooses to stand up. He leads and he explains what is happening. People of Israel, he says, we are not drunk, as you suppose. We are filled with the Spirit, the same Spirit that the prophet Joel promised would fall on all flesh, young and old, male and female, rich and poor, and who would then, empowered by the Spirit, prophesy and speak out about the goodness of God. So listen up, let me explain. This is all about Jesus. Jesus from Nazareth. You remember him? The one you know about, who you could tell was anointed by God by all the miracles and the wonders and the signs which God did through him, and who was nailed to that terrible Roman cross only a few weeks ago, right in front of all of our eyes. It's about this Jesus because he has been raised from the dead by God. And we have seen this. And then we saw him being taken into heaven and exalted to the right hand of God. And it's from there that he has poured out the promised Holy Spirit on us all, as you can now see and hear. This is what this is all about. And so listen up. Let every one of you be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. Lord and Messiah. The King of the world has been revealed, and we have been given this message to share with everyone. Peter's been transformed. He's still Peter, still strong-minded, vocal, a natural leader, but he's been changed. His apprenticeship is coming to an end. He's moving into ownership, as it were. Remember what Jesus first said to him when he called him to be an apprentice? He said, Peter, follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. And this is what Peter is becoming. He's been with Jesus. He's been becoming like him. And now he's doing what Jesus did, proclaiming the kingdom of God right here, right now, available for everyone. A church alive is a Spirit-filled church. Churches without the Spirit are dead. Churches with only a little of the Spirit are weak. But churches filled with the Spirit are sent out. They are mission agencies. They are agents of God's kingdom and signs of his gospel. They are gospel driven through and through, motivated and empowered to share the story of this Jesus who was killed on a cross but is not dead, but has instead been raised to life, been resurrected. But not only that, he's been exalted to sit at God's right hand and established as the world's true king, the Lamb upon the throne, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. This king on his throne, and we, his church, are his messengers, his ambassadors. That's what we are for. We have been recruited by him at great cost to spread the word and to proclaim his kingdom to the ends of the earth. God is doing a new thing again with us as a church. It's a new chapter in our life together. I heard this week that in the last 18 months or maybe 2 years since I arrived, about 250 new people have become connected to our church family in one way or another, and they've signed up to be kept in contact with us. That doesn't mean that they're completely new or new to faith, but it means that there is a whole new group of us who are much newer than the rest of us. And if this is you listening today, you are most welcome. We are so glad that you have become part of our story here at St. Mary's. When the summer has passed and after Alpha has started at the end of September, we're going to have a delayed annual meeting. We call it an APCM, Annual Parochial Church Meeting. And if you are on the electoral roll, which you can sign up for now, if you haven't done already, you can vote for others to be on the PCC, which is our church council. But at this meeting, this will be a special year, I think, because not simply are we coming out of COVID, God willing, but because at this meeting, I'll be sharing more of the vision of what God has been putting on my heart for our future together for the perhaps the next decade or so. And core to all this will be the calling to be spirit-filled and gospel-driven. Spirit-filled and gospel-driven, filled with God's breath, and equipped and enabled for his mission, for sharing and for announcing the kingdom of God. As I was writing that last paragraph, the phone went and it was a guy from Amazon delivering another book, and he was at the gate, and he couldn't get into my drive because I had just put up the massive Alpha banner across my gate that you can see, and that hopefully will bring a few people from the A25 and invite them to Alpha 2. Anyway, so I went up to him and I apologized for the banner and thanked him for the parcel. And I asked him if he'd heard about Alpha, because he was standing right in front of it. I said, "Have you ever heard about Alpha?" And he said, and if he'd like to come along. And he'd said that he had been 2 years ago. I was surprised, but I was delighted. And I asked him what had happened next. And he told me that he'd been invited to be a host. I said that was amazing and asked him to pray for our course running online in September. And he'd said he'd do that. It reminded me that everyone is invited, from Alpha delivery guys to the people at on the corner of the street, to our next door neighbours, to people who work in offices, to people who are retired, to young people, to old people. Everyone is invited. And for someone to be invited, they need someone to invite them. And that means us. We are not disciples for nothing. We have been called to fish for people, to spread the news. The world's true king has been revealed, and we get to share this message. This is our gospel. Jesus is king. So let's ask the Spirit to fill us once again, all of us, and to equip us to invite others and to start 1,000 kingdom conversations over the next few weeks.